Death of a River Guide, written by Richard Flanagan and read by Humphrey Bower. As I was born, the umbilical cord tangled around my neck, and I came into the world both arms flailing, unable to scream and thereby take in the air necessary to begin life outside of the womb, being garrotted by the very thing that had until that time succoured me and given me life. Such a sight you never clapped eyes upon. And not only because I was being half-strangled, for I was born in the caul, that translucent egg in which I had grown within the womb. Long before my damp, rusty head was crowned between my mother's heaving flesh, as I was painfully pushed out into this world, the caul should have ruptured. But I miraculously emerged from my mother, still enclosed in that elastic globe of life, arriving in the world not dissimilarly to how I am now to depart it. I swam within a milky blue sack of amniotic fluid, my limbs jerking awkwardly, pushing with futile gestures at the membranes, my head obscured outside the sack by the wreath of umbilical cord. I made strange, desperate movements, as if condemned always to see life through a thin, mucousy film, separated from the rest of the world and the rest of my life by the things that had until then protected me. It was and is a curious sight, my birth. I didn't know then, of course, that I was about to be exiled from my imperfect circle, itself just exiled from its own enclosing circle, Mama's womb, the walls of which suddenly, less than a day before, began moving most violently and extremely. If I had been forewarned of all the troubles that were so soon to befall me, I would have stayed put. Not that it would have made any difference. The walls pulsed and pushed solely with the purpose of expelling me from a world about which I felt nothing but good, and against which I had done nothing bad, unless my continued and vital growth from a few cells to a complete person can be construed as some aggressive action. The roof and floor of my world worked ceaselessly from that time onward, the power of each movement more powerful than the previous, like a tidal wave gathering size as it skips over each new reef. To such a violent determination, I, of course, could not do other than acquiesce, allowing myself to be battered up against the narrow walls of the birth canal, my head squashed this way and that. And why this indignity? I had loved that world, its serene, pulsing darkness, its warm, sweet waters, loved the way I could effortlessly roll this way and that. Who brought light to my world? Who brought doubt to my actions that were once innocent of reason or consequence? Who? Who started me on this journey I never asked to begin? Who? And why did I acquiesce? But how do I now know this? I can't know it. I must be fantasizing. And yet. The midwife quickly and expertly unraveled the cord, then pushed her thumb into the caul, as if she were little Jack Horner, searching for the plum, and ripping her thumb upwards toward my head, burst the bag open. A small deluge of fluid fell upon the dusty floorboards of that small room in Trieste, and made them as slippery as life. A scream followed, and laughter.